definitely things to be thankful for. Thankful for Brian and Erica getting the paperwork in order so they can come next week. And also Peter and Paul making the leader safe. And pray for Leroy. They could be removed to be okay. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you've given. Thank you for the protection you've granted to those that were moving and those that are moving. We pray protection on and your blessing that that would go well. Also for Brian and Erica, that you bless them, Lord, and help them get here safely according to your will. Thank you for that working out, paperwork. Thank you for this time together. Help us to walk in your ways. Bless in this lesson, we pray. We're reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 today.
Passover of 5,000 sheep and 500 calves.
And the service was duly ordered, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their divisions, according to the command of the king, and they slew the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hand, and the Levites flayed the victim, and they prepared the whole burnt offering to give to them, according to the division, by the houses of families, even to the sons of the people, to offer to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And thus they did till the morning, and they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance, and boiled the holy pieces in copper vessels and cauldrons, and the feast went on well, and they quickly served all the children of the people. And after they had prepared for themselves and for the priests, for the priests were engaged in offering the whole burnt offerings and the fat until night, then the Levites prepared for themselves and for their brethren, the sons of Aaron. And the sons of Asaph, the psalm singers, were at their post according to the commands of David, and Asaph, and Amon, and Hittim, the prophets of the king. Also the chiefs and the porters of the several gates. It was not for them to stir from the service of the holy things, for their brethren the Levites prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was duly ordered and prepared in that day, for keeping the Passover and offering the whole burnt sacrifices on the altar of the Lord according to the command of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. Now, and there was, verse 18, and there was no Passover like it in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet or any king of Israel. They kept not such a Passover as Josiah, and the priests, and the Levites, and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the dwellers in Jerusalem kept to the Lord. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept, after all these things that Josiah did in the house. And King Josiah burnt those who had in them a divining spirit, and the wizards and the images, and the idols and the sodomites which were in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law that were written in the book which Chelcias the priest found in the house of the Lord. There was no king like him before him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength, according to all the law of Moses, and after him there rose up none like him. Nevertheless, the Lord turned not from the anger of his fierce wrath, wherewith the Lord was greatly angry against Judah, for all the provocations wherewith Manasseh provoked him. And the Lord said, I will even remove Judah also from my presence, as I have removed Israel, and I have rejected the city which I chose, even Jerusalem, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Okay. Stop there for a minute. There was not a Passover ever like this before and after. He found the book. He followed the Lord with all his heart. All of his heart, soul, and mind, and strength, the way it appeared. He loved God. But still, because of what the children of Israel had done, God was going to chasten them and discipline them strongly, but he put it off because of Josiah's heart has been turned toward him. And then in verse 20, and Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of the Assyrians to the river Euphrates. And King Josias went to meet him, and he sent messengers to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, O king of Judah? I am not come today to war against thee, and God has told me to hasten. Beware of the God that is with me, lest he destroy thee. However, Josiah turned not his face from him, but strengthened himself to fight against him, and hearkened not to the words of
Necho by the mouth of God, and he came to fight in the plain of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servant, "Take me away, for I am severely wounded." And his servants lifted him out of the chariot and put him in the second chariot which he had, and brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried with his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem lamented over Josiah. And Jeremiah mourned over Josiah, and all the chief men and chief women uttered a lamentation over Josiah until this day. And they made it an ordinance for Israel, and behold, it is written in the lamentation. And the rest of the acts of Josiah and his hope are written in the law of the Lord. And his acts, the first and the last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. What does that say in the King James where it says, and his hope?
And his goodness.
And his goodness. That's interesting, isn't it? So, that gives you an idea of what the Bible means when it says a living hope. And we obey the Lord and are doing what he taught. Then that's our hope. That's what it means to have a living hope. You understand that? When you hope in God, that means you're going to, and it's a living hope, it's not a dead hope. A dead hope is just, oh, well, I hope it doesn't rain today. One way or the other, it doesn't really dissuade it, but I'd rather not. You're not going to do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. That might be a dead hope, you know. But a living hope is when you believe what God said and you're going to act on it. Dead hope is a false hope, right? That, yeah, that just means there's nothing in it, nothing good.
Dead hope, but it's dead. There's nobody picking a promise.
Like dead faith.
Yeah.
Just picking out something God says and believing it with your mind without believing it with your life and your actions and your heart, following it. That's what God wants. And that's what Josiah had, was that kind of hope. To me, though, it's a little confusing from verse 20 through 23, or 25 here, exactly what went on there. Brother Marcus mentioned something about that not too long ago. Can you tell me again? Can you explain to us kind of what your thoughts were on that?
In the...
When Pharaoh went
off. Yeah. Well, I just don't know remember exactly that. He just went against the Lord.
I'm a little unsure there what was going on, but Egypt was coming through to go fight with the Assyrians. Yeah. And,
when it seems like such a tragedy, there's no one like him.
Yes.
The Lord with all his heart.
And then ended up
just making
bad moves and bad choice. We can make bad choices and bad moves.
Oh, there was some thought about why he would have not wanted, forget what it was, why he would have not wanted Pharaoh to hurt the Assyrians. He's coming up against the Assyrians. And there was a reason I had come up with looking for why he wouldn't have wanted him. Would have kind of wanted to protect the Assyrians. I can't remember what that was now.
Now, did he join up with the Egyptians, all right?
No, he
joined against them.
Looks like he went against them.
Yeah, he looked like he was trying to protect the Assyrians.
Or at least keep the Egyptians from traveling through his country or even close. It's like he's made it securing his borders. He like.
Now, wasn't this right in the middle of the captivity, too? I mean, the first.
For
Israel,
yet not Judah. Right?
Well, hadn't that came already yet?
Yeah,
so the 70 years it started.
Of the captivity, 7 years, say.
All right. Anyway, the moral of the story that I want you to get today is that there was a young man that became king, and he found the book of God, and he decided, he turned his heart toward God, and he followed God with all his heart, and he did what was right, and he destroyed, even so much so that he put to death the wizards and the witches and anyone who had were practicing evil. And whenever some of us, your parents, have found the book and we decided to follow it and separated ourselves from those that are not practicing truth, and we're desiring to continue in that, but we don't want to end up that we do something against the Lord at the end. We want to be faithful all the way. But this is a good testimony for Josiah. You know that ending there is a little bit obscure, but it gets good. And let's keep the feast with the unleavened bread, sincerity and truth. Think about those things. You don't understand that maybe, but in other words, be sincere and good and kind to one another and love each other and love God most of all. All right. Your verses. What was it about?
Being humble.
Okay. You all got new verses? Are you proud of that? Well, stand up and read yours.
Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you.
Okay, associate with the humble. Amen.
Humble is the best alone.
The Lord hates a proud look. Amen.
Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. 31. I will bless the Lord at all times, but His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
Psalm 16.
To what's
spoil is kind of like what people would get in when they destroy some other nation in battle or overcome them, and they take all their goods. And often there's a great amount of pride with that. When we get the better deal sometimes, or we get the good end of the stick, the good end of whatever. You and somebody else have a quarrel, and after it's settled, you're the winner. Be careful and beware of pride. Maureen?
Proverbs 16:9-19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
James 4:6. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Luke 14:11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Isaiah 5:15. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled.
2 Chronicles 33:12-13. And when he was in affliction, he sought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, since he was then Manasseh, who was the Lord, he was God.
1 Peter 5:6. And what about pride? We're on the subject. Look up some verses about pride.